Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And now we'll open up the phones and get your reactions to the indictment of George Zimmerman. For the many of you who've been protesting in recent weeks, now that the justice system stopped ignoring the case, does that mean it's time to stop protesting? 212-433-WNYC. And for anyone, could you sit impartially on George Zimmerman's jury? We'll take your calls, 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. I thought Special Prosecutor Angela Corey was extremely impressive yesterday at her announcement and news conference. I listened to the whole thing live, and both in her description of her investigation and in the way she talked about the underpinnings of the criminal justice system, responsible first to the victims, but also to defendants and to justice itself. I thought her tough-mindedness and her compassion and her conceptual framing of the purpose of the justice system were all admirable and in a mix you don't see every day. What did you think? 212-433-9692. And afterwards, Reverend Al Sharpton spoke together with Trayvon Martin's parents, and he gave props to Florida's Republican governor and that prosecutor, Corey, who he appointed.
We must say that despite the fact that we have different political parties and different political persuasions, that tonight maybe America can come together and say that only the facts should matter.
So if only the facts should matter, according to Reverend Al and according to the prosecutor, now we will open up the phones and get your reactions to the indictment of George Zimmerman as we continue our series of conversations about the case. 212-433-9692. Should the protests stop now? Should people stop wearing hoodies and drinking Arizona iced tea in public and the other symbols of Trayvon Martin's innocence and victimization, as so many see it, and just be quiet and let the trial play out? 212-433-WNYC. And it seems that it will be a trial because Zimmerman, we're told, will plead not guilty. For better or worse, this seems to be one of those cases where no proper investigation would have taken place without public pressure. Corey talked about it. Sharpton talked about it. Public pressure should never be the reason for a verdict in any case. Only the truth should determine that. But if a biased or incompetent justice system has failed to even really investigate a possible second-degree murder, then the public certainly does have a role to play, I think, and it seems to me a sign that our democracy is able to work and that it did work to be responsive to the outcry. Now, if George Zimmerman has a legitimate self-defense claim, the facts will come out and he'll be found guilty or not guilty. Politics has no proper role in that. So for the many of you who've been protesting in recent weeks, now that the justice system stopped ignoring the case, does that mean it's time for the protest to take a break? And for anyone, could you sit impartially on George Zimmerman's jury? We'll take your calls, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, and I see our lines are full already. You can post your thoughts to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show as well. We'll go to the phones right after this. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, now to your calls reacting to the arrest and indictment on second-degree murder charges of George Zimmerman yesterday, and the questions, is it time now for the protest to stop because the justice system stopped ignoring the case? And for anyone, could you sit impartially on George Zimmerman's jury? 212-433-9692. Adina in Irvington, thank you for calling in. You're on WNYC.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Very good.
What do you think?
I think the protest, I think this whole protest was bigger than George Zimmerman. I think this protest was about a young black boy that was killed. And once again, no one stopped the war just continued to go on by their day. I think this case, in a sense, hit a chord with me as a young mother to a young black boy. But almost, I have a brother, I have a husband, I have everyone in my family that's a young black male walk around with hoodies on. It struck a chord with me that if that was my son, if that was my brother, if that was my dad, would anyone just go on by their day? So I think this case was bigger than George Zimmerman. It has to send a message that a life is a life. And if something is done unjustly, the war has to stop. And that's what makes this great country, America, work. We have a great justice system. And I think that when everyone works together, great things can happen.
I think, too, and I think you put that really well, is that this case isn't just about George Zimmerman. Because so many people feel this could be me, or this could be my brother, or this could be my son, because of the long litany of innocent and unarmed black Americans being seen as more suspicious than they are. And sometimes the result is as small as being pulled over on the New Jersey Turnpike and having your license checked for no real reason other than driving while black. Or sometimes, like Sean Bell or Amadou Diallo or allegedly George Zimmerman on Trayvon Martin, you wind up illegitimately pursued and then shot dead. Yes?
Right. And I think that's what hit the core with me. I felt like my husband go out jogging every night, every morning, with a hoodie on. Now, does he have to stop wearing a hoodie? And not just that, this case also sent a message to the black community that, look, listen, the justice system, even though at times work against us, but the justice system is fair and it can work. It requires some patience, but it's fair and it can work.
Adina, thank you so much. Please call us again.
You're welcome.
Michael in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Michael.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Good. I think the protests probably should stop. I think, however, that this case is so much more complicated than the public realizes and knows, just because the public doesn't have access to nobody really knows, except for George Zimmerman and unfortunately Trayvon Martin, what happened that night. I think one of the most interesting things, not to go off on a tangent, I think it's applicable, is the comments made this morning by Trayvon Martin's mother, when she claimed, or she thinks, that this was an accident. I'm not trying to say that, you know, I think that Zimmerman is totally innocent and, you know, being unjustly accused. But I think it's interesting that the way that the rhetoric her rhetoric and her demeanor has changed. I think it's good that he was brought to, that he was charged. I think there needs to be an investigation in the courts. But I think it's just a sign that we really don't know what happened, and there's a lot more to this case, and it's more complicated, at least I think, than the public knows. And I think it's a natural reaction, probably, for people to want somebody's head and to want justice. But I think at this time, cooler heads need to prevail, and the facts need to kind of be laid out in the courtroom to decide what happened and what type of punishment is applicable.
Thank you very much, Vic in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hi, Vic.
Yes. Good morning. Thank you very much for taking my call. As I was saying to the other, the announcer, you know, person
answering
the phone, I'm 57 years old. I've got three kids. I'm white, and I was horrified when I heard this story about this poor kid being shot like that. And just to make a comment to the previous caller, I think the fact that this man was told by the 911 dispatcher not to pursue. And to wait, I guess, for the police, and he didn't listen. So, just by that, there's a problem that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, and then there'll probably be a lot of back and forth on. Of course, there will be details that need to be brought out about that gap, that couple of minutes that doesn't seem to be covered by the various 911 calls, at least those that we know of that have wound up in the media, and what actually happened at that time, what actually happened when the two men actually became when the man and the boy, I guess it's appropriate to say since he was 17, came face to face, and who started doing what to whom. But at very least, there is that provocation of following him and making Trayvon Martin afraid. That seems to be pretty well established. And then they're going to have to establish what happened after that. And then if Martin attacked Zimmerman in what Martin perceived to be self-defense, then and then Zimmerman kind of responded to that, then how much is Zimmerman legally responsible for provoking the whole thing by the pursuit? And that's going to be, I think, one of the complications of the case, depending on how much they can determine about what actually happened between them.
Yeah, I couldn't see myself being an armed, community vigilante like that. And in fact, in a situation like that, the vigilante or this community guard might have taken this as an opportunity to try to make contact and friends with the person, rather than to have it be immediately confrontational or threatening.
Vic, thank you for your call. Catherine on our Facebook page writes, it's unfortunate that so much public and media pressure was required to impel the Florida law enforcement and judiciary to do its duty. And if they do have trouble finding impartial jurors, they have only their initial failure to act to blame for it. Keith in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Keith.
Yeah, hi. How you doing, Brian?
All right.
See, I think that they should keep protesting, because one of the things I think that people haven't said is that, I mean, you said it when you were explaining it, is that, you know, this has happened to young black males. You never hear it happening to young Asian males, young white males. Can you imagine if, Zimmerman was black and the kid that he shot was some young blue-eyed white boy? I mean, the whole aspect of it would, the whole dynamic would have been different. I think you know that. I think everyone else knows that. But when it happens to a young black male, it seems to be intellectualized. Let's take our time. Let's look at the facts. Even that young kid that was shot in the back, handcuffs on that MARTA platform in L.A., even when you have it as blatant as that, it's just so amazing that they still want to say, let's see what the facts are. When you're dealing with when it's a young black male, I personally don't think that I could have been or could be impartial on that jury, because it's happened over and over and over and over and over again.
And yet don't both things need to be true? On the one hand, the whole country, no matter what color you are, has to realize why it has that resonance. And we know the New York examples here in New York. We know Amadou Diallo. We know Sean Bell.
Right.
You mentioned the L.A. case. Every city has these people.
Right.
And so for people who wonder, why did Trayvon Martin, even if this was unjustifiable homicide, why did this break out as a national story? Why is everybody talking about it so much? It's because every community has their Trayvon Martins. Here we are now, and an indictment has been brought. And now it is time to where the facts, no matter what other reaction we have, where the facts have to come to light and be inspected with some amount of dispassion by the jurors or the judge, whoever tries the case. Or do you disagree?
I do, because it's happened so many times. And, it's like we're instead of mentioning just, Trayvon, we're mentioning Trayvon and a hoodie. We're mentioning Trayvon and what he was like wearing. That's not being dispassionate or impartial. That is really connecting it to a culture, young black male culture, hip-hop culture. And, in that context, that whole culture is or has been criminalized. That's the first thing that you think when you see somebody dressed like that, no matter whether he's walking into Brooklyn Tech or, Stuyvesant High School. You don't care where this young kid is going, or maybe he's a chess master.
But you can't hold George Zimmerman responsible for murder on the basis of that, true as it is.
Well,
right?
Then you need to listen to the tape, my friend.
Oh, listen to the tape is another matter. Listen to the tape is the facts of the case. But, Keith, thank you very much. On our webpage, by the way, Wallace writes, Brian stated that it's inevitable that a trial by jury will take place. That is not true. It is my understanding that there will be hearings before a judge, during which Zimmerman and his lawyers will assert the stand-your-ground defense. During this hearing, the judge can dismiss the case in its entirety and there will be no jury selection and no trial in that event. And I guess that's true. I guess all I meant to say was that it seems that he will plead not guilty, and so this will go to court. He could also, I gather, choose a bench trial where there's only a judge and not a jury. In any case, by the way, anybody who wants to get to see it, whatever does take place, apparently will get to see it because Florida has cameras in the courtroom. So for better or worse, and whether that's going to make it a circus or whether that's going to make it an opportunity to witness and in some sense participate in justice, it looks like that is likely to be live on television when they do get to whatever court proceedings they do get. Gosh, let's see. Joe in the Delaware River Basin, you get our last 30 seconds. You got 30 seconds, yeah. Joe. Go for it.
You got to disturb my voting. My question is the two issues over here. As an American Muslim, I see this profiling, and I see it everywhere from the airport to driving. So I feel I have compassion with the black community because they've been going through this phenomenon for 1,000 years. And the second point is, was a premeditated murder.
And, Joe, we have to leave it there as the last word. Obviously, the conversation will go on about the case itself and about the national context of the case. Thank you all for your calls. Keep having the discussion at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show.